We have some really special guests in the studio today. If the name OK Go doesn't immediately ring a bell, if you say, you know, the video of the guys dancing on treadmills, it's very likely you've already met this really great band. That very video is a Grammy Award winner. The song is Here It Goes Again, and it's a YouTube rage with over 51 million views. And the new album released this year is called Of the Blue Color of the Sky. They play a sold-out show tonight in Dallas at the Granada Theater. We're very glad to welcome OK Go to KXT. Welcome, guys.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
It's really, really a pleasure to have you guys here. How about a song to start?
Yeah, absolutely. This is called Back from Kathmandu.
Someone different, you and everyone else all at once. You were beautiful, you were beautiful. In the dream you were just like you are. You love everyone like a sovereign, half magnanimous, half unimpressed. And I was talking too much, I was trying too hard. In the dream you were just like you are. And then everything was so simple. Things are how they always will be. You are the answer to the question that is me. Yeah, in the dream it was just like it is. Where everyone was guilty by mistake. And it was infinite, it was infinite. In the dream it was just like it is. And I asked if love could free us, and you said no, probably not. But everybody's gotta get through the night, and love is all we got. Yeah, in the dream it was just like it is. In the dream it was just like it is.
OK Go joins us in the studio here at KXT 91.7. Very, very nice, guys.
Thanks.
Excellent. Yeah. It's back from Kathmandu. Would everybody introduce themselves and tell us what you play?
I am Damien. I sing and I play guitar.
I'm Andy and I play guitar and keyboards.
I'm Tim. I play the bass, but today I'm playing tambourine and cowbell and glockenspiel.
Tim, Damien, you guys have been making music since you were really young.
Yeah, Tim and I met, I was 12, Tim was 11, which, you know, I was vastly wiser at the time and still am. and we started a band that first summer, didn't we?
We did.
We met at summer camp. We were we went to a nerdy band camp. Although neither of us went, I went, I did play violin for a while, but then I started going for visual art. I was like a drawing major.
Yeah, I went for theater. So neither one of us was there for music.
Right? Yeah, yeah, we were forced into music.
But you started that band there at camp.
We did. We started a band there at camp. We had one rehearsal and then one concert. Because I had played violin for a few years. I was horrible at violin, but I was deemed guitarist because I had experience with strings, and Tim was the singer because you know, as a theater major, I mean, obviously he had the panache,
the pizzazz.
Yeah. So we had the camp was divided into like the girls' side and the boys' side, and so we set up all of our equipment, which actually none of which was our equipment. Like, we borrowed a guitar and an amplifier. Right. We had no drums, so a kid played metal folding chairs in lieu of a drum set, and we set this whole setup up right against the fence to the girls' side, and we played a concert for the girls, and they pressed themselves up against the channel fence. It was to date still the highest fantasy show we've ever had.
Do you remember the name of that band?
That band was called the Greased Ferrets. We were 12.
Really?
The only other band I had attempted to name before that was a band which never actually existed, called the Toxic Taxis, which I think is actually a pretty great name.
That's a good name.
I know. We should have stuck with that.
That's a good name. You were house band for This American Life for a while.
Yeah, yeah. I worked at public radio in Chicago for a few years, and Ira Glass came across our music, presumably through work. I don't know. I mean, maybe he actually just discovered us.
He liked the posters, actually, originally.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Tim and I also used... I mean, we've done a lot of art projects together over the last 20 whatever years it is now. Yeah. And when we first started the band, we made... for every show, we would make a really elaborate silkscreen poster that I had a loft in Chicago, and we would print all the posters ourselves and plaster them all over town. We got... taken in by the police more than once. I was a fan of the posters, and he came to one of the shows and he really liked what we did, and mm-hmm. he took us on tour as their sort of, like, you know, the house band when they did their fifth anniversary tour, which was 2002 maybe?
Yeah, 2002, 2001, yeah.
And he even wrote the bio on your website.
Yeah, well, Ira's become a pretty close friend of ours, I really think, you know, this is, of course, preaching to the choir when we're in a public radio studio, but I think what they do at This American Life is some of the most amazing cultural production in America, period, of any media. You know, it's very hard to make things, I think, that are very emotionally accessible and really kick you in the gut, in a sort of limbic, like, non-intellectual way, and are smart. You know, and what this show does, it hits you on all senses. Not to mention, I think it's some of the most rigorous reporting that's going on. I mean, the Planet Money stuff is just spectacular. And I don't know. I mean, Timothy Geithner started actually quoting from Planet Money. You know, I mean, they're like these, you know, the guys who are running Planet Money are actually having like a profound effect on financial policy, I think, you know, which is there are not a lot of, you know, reporters you can say have direct access like that, and you know, the war reporting a few years back was amazing. I mean, mm-hmm. I could go on forever. I'm a really big fan of This American Life.
Scoop, we'll have to get you back for a membership campaign.
Yeah, yeah.
So how about another song?
Yeah, let's do it. I gotta tune. No, actually, that guitar is in the right tuning for me, is it?
Yeah,
let's
try.
That
should work.
This one's actually, I'm just gonna play. This one's just me by my lonesome, me and a guitar. This is called Last Leaf. Close enough. If you should be the last autumn leaf hanging from the tree, I'll still be here waiting on the breeze to bring you down to me. And if it takes forever, forever
it'll be. And if it takes forever, forever it'll be. Should be the last seed in spring to venture out, leave. I'll still be here waiting on the rain to warm your heart for me. And if it takes forever, forever it'll be. And if it takes forever, forever it'll be.
KXT 91.7, and you're listening to OK Go live here in the studio at KXT. That's Last Leaf. Damien Kulash sang that song. Very, very pretty.
Thanks.
Do you do that song solo in concert?
Yeah, I do. And that's actually how it was recorded on the record. We recorded the album in upstate New York with, or technically Western New York, with Dave Fridman, who's, you know, most famous for his work with Mercury Rev and the Flaming Lips, and his studio is actually in an old Amish barn in the middle of nowhere. And so I just went out in the woods, and he put up two mics. You know, we ran cables out to me in the woods. He put up two mics. I don't know, you know, one of them about 3 feet from me and the other maybe 15 feet, and I just played the song.
Oh.
So you can, at the beginning of the song, you can actually, the song on the record, that is, you can hear the frogs, you know, in the background and stuff. It's pretty cool.
So now this past March, you announced you were leaving your label to start your own?
Yes.
What happened?
We were on a major label for about 10 years. We signed in 2001, I think it was, and we just left this year. So believe it or not, you rarely hear this from a band. It was a pretty amicable parting. I mean, we certainly had our differences of opinion, but we just are going a very different direction than the big companies in the music business are. Which is not to say that, you know, they're wrong. It just wasn't the right path for our band. I mean, our band, obviously, we're pretty well known for our videos, and a lot of what we make. Let me start this again. The way we think about what we do is we have creative ideas and we want to chase them. That usually starts with songwriting. You know, obviously it ends in all sorts of places. You know, ends with us dancing on treadmills or making a giant Rube Goldberg machine in a warehouse somewhere. But in fact, I shouldn't even say it ends there. I mean, we've done all sorts of fun things this year. We made laser guitars with a British designer and got to play them at Design Miami. You know, the big art fair in Miami over the winter. And I mean, there's all sorts of exciting projects for us that don't necessarily have anything to do with record sales. And the music industry has been built for so long on the notion that like the single metric of success is how many records you sell. And of course, at a time when people aren't buying records, period, it's a really tough game to associate yourself with, and sort of a useless one from a band's perspective, because, you know, record sales themselves rarely pay any band's bills. You know, I mean, most of that money winds up having to support the labels, which, again, that's not a big complaint about the way it works. It's just that labels bet on 20 bands for every one that's going to succeed, and they have to you know, reap pretty big rewards from that one that does succeed to cover the rest of their bets. And in a band in our position, you know, we do pretty well. Like, we'd love to have bank accounts the size of Green Day's or something, but we make a pretty decent living, and so we don't need a major label to be our investors anymore, and we don't really want to base our business around having to try to restrict access to the things we make so that people can pay their way in. You know, it's just, that's not really the digital universe that we live in as people, and it doesn't make sense for us to live there as business people either. You know,
This Too Shall Pass is probably my new favorite video now.
Thank you. Thanks so, very much.
Can you, for people who've not seen it, it's like the Treadmills video, like you touched on. It's one long, elaborate shot. And could you describe it for everybody who's not seen it?
Kind yeah, briefly. Well, we've actually made two videos for that song, but the one that you were talking about, I'm fairly certain, is a long Rube Goldberg machine. It's a single take of the Rube Goldberg machine is like, you know, it's like that game Mousetrap you played when you were a kid. It's, you know, like in ours, like we start off by knocking over dominoes, and the dominoes pull out a little, like, you know, they knock out something underneath a pool ball, and the pool ball starts rolling, and the you know, falls down knocks down a book, and the book releases a lever, and the lever actually hits an iPod, which starts the whole music. And of course, this goes for 3.5 minutes along with a song, and winds up with ovens falling from the ceiling, and with a big shower of balloons, and a massive Jacob's ladder made out of you know, doors. And I mean, the last thing is we get shot in the face with these giant paint cannons, these homemade paint cannons. It took us about 6 months to make. Starting from the day I posted a job interview online looking for an engineer to help us build this thing, we actually wound up working for the design phase with about 12 people, and by the time it was done being built, there were about 60 engineers on board. It's that's not, of course, how most bands make videos. Most videos are paid for by a record label to advertise the CDs that they're selling, you know, and so they're funded by the label, and usually the band shows up for that, you know, a day or two of shooting, and that's it. And for us, the idea that someone's going to make a 3-minute movie to one of our songs, it's like, well, we definitely, if someone's going to have that much fun, it's going to be us, you know.
It's a really, really great video. You have to see it if you haven't seen it yet. And can I ask you to play that song for us?
Yeah, then? Absolutely. Let me see if I'm in tune. Thank you, Andy. I am in tune.
Welcome.
You guys ready?
Let it go this.
comes.
KXT 91.7. Very, very, very nice. This too shall pass from OK Go. Thanks a lot, guys. Really
appreciate
it. Of course,
thanks so much for having us.
OK Go is our guest in studio today. Their new album is called Of the Blue Color of the Sky, and they play a sold-out show tonight in Dallas at the Granada Theater, another sold-out show tomorrow night at the Parish in Austin. Get more listings for events and venues on the concerts page at kxt.org. I'm Joe Cazera. This is KXT 91.7, Music to the Core.